Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Namaste, hola, bonjour, barkada, yayada, and anything else. Greetings, everyone. Greetings, greetings. Welcome to the Mind, Body, and Spirit Radio Show. We are here tonight. It is Wednesday, January the 25th, 2017. Plowing through this month, as I always say, the days just seem to fly by. It's just so amazing. We are already going into February. Speaking of which, in February, for those of you sports fans, Houston is hosting the Super Bowl. And I'm super excited about that, even though I don't watch sports anymore. But it's just going to be so lovely with the extra energy that will be here in Houston during that time. I don't even know who's possibly playing. I think I saw something like the Falcons, or I don't know, maybe New England. I don't know who somebody's playing. I'm sure Scotty knows. Scotty, who's playing in the Super Bowl? You can tell us who's playing in the Super Bowl. I just absolutely have no idea, but I am so super excited about whoever is playing. And once I know who's playing, then I probably could possibly say, yeah, okay, I think I'll root for that team this year. But anyway, so Super Bowl here in Houston, looking forward to that. I know there will be thousands and thousands of people coming into the city. And one thing about that that's not so exciting is, as we know, on top of gentrification, we also have, when these events occur in these major cities like the Super Bowl coming to Houston, the city of Houston wants to put on a good look for its visitors. And so, in many cases, the homeless people are collected and forced on a bus out of town for that weekend so that the city can look just beautiful to all of the visitors, especially people that come to a city for a Super Bowl. So there was an article, I believe, about Houston. Okay, one thing about Houston also is these people in Houston, they love their dogs. They absolutely love dogs. Pets. There are just tons of pet shops all around town. So there was an article about dogs, possibly the stray collected and also taken to the Humane Society and euthanized. Oh, you know, these people in Houston had a fit. But they hadn't had that much of a fit about the homeless people. But, I mean, they weren't nearly as upset about the homeless people being removed, dislocated, as they were about the animals. But anyway, I know people have their thoughts and feelings, but I just wanted to say, before we get into our mind, body, and spirit show, I really do hope that the homeless people are able to find some shelter and not be sent out of town just for that weekend. That's even though they may not, quote unquote, to some other people believe that, oh, that you actually have a home, so what, you don't have a home, so what difference does it make where we place you? Some of these people do consider an area their home, because I've seen it here in Houston. We do have a skid row here in Houston. So I hope that all the stray animals and the homeless people are safe. Even when we have the visitors come into Houston, we welcome you, but we just want to also make sure that those people are not displaced. So welcome in to the Mind, Body, and Spirit show tonight. We are talking about women, and oh, here's a fabulous woman on the line. Icy Hot. Welcome in, Icy Hot. Hello. Namaste and greetings and all of that.
Thank you. Namaste.
Yes.
I finally got it together.
You finally what?
Got it together today.
Oh, you got it together?
Got it together, yes.
What did you get together?
Everything I needed to.
Fine. Oh, great. Well, you know what? That's a wonderful way.
I completed everything.
You what?
I completed everything that I set out to do today.
You know what? I wish I had a hand clap sound effect for you. But so, you know what? What's even better than that is me clapping.
Thank you, because that's so hard to do someday.
It is very difficult. You know what? It's difficult enough as it is to make a list, to write those goals out prior to that day. I had an advisor that would always say, you need to make your list out the night before. Don't wake up trying to write your list of things to do. You need to have that done the night before and get started on it. I don't always follow that, I have to be honest. But I'm glad that you mentioned that, because in 2017, that is what's needed in order for me, I know, to accomplish all the many things that I have going on. So you accomplished everything. That's wonderful. I'm super excited for you as well.
Yeah.
I am. I think, let's see. Hey, Featherlight. Featherlight is under the weather, so we want to lift her up in prayer.
She is listening.
Yes,
Spirit is with you right now to touch it.
I know. Poor dear. I really do wish that you will recover. Have a speedy recovery, Featherlight, because we miss you. We miss you. But I will read Featherlight's poem that she has submitted to us tonight on Women by Sister Angela Davis. So I will read that in absence of Featherlight, her poem, her mind, body, and spirit piece. So don't fret. Let's see. Delta, do you have your mic together? Delta, I see
you. Can you hear me?
Yes, Delta, we can hear you. We just want to make sure your mic is working. How are you, Delta?
All right. How y'all doing tonight?
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. The weather is so beautiful here in Houston. I've meant to clip a video of the breeze blowing through my window, because we're able to have the windows open now. It's only like about 69 degrees. I mean, it's just gorgeous here in Houston. I am loving it. It's one thing about the South. Mm-hmm. Delta, you're in the South.
Yes, I am. The weather's so nice right now. It was so beautiful out today. It was really nice.
Mm.
Ooh, that sounds so nice. Makes me want to move South.
Oh, at least just have a beach home somewhere. Yeah,
Yes.
absolutely. So tonight, ladies, we are talking about women, and I'm so glad that Mother Hattie is on the line with us, because she is the founder of Women United, and we're talking about when women unite, because, ladies, we have to give props to sisters organizing and putting things together, like Sister Empress with the Million Woman March, and yes, these women that organized, excuse me, this past weekend. But and Mother Hattie, you too have something going on with Women United coming up that we all need to mark our calendars for. Could you share that with us?
We have Women United locally here. We're doing a couple of things in collaboration with Dr. Soleil in the Million Woman March, 20-year commemoration anniversary. We're going to do a community health fair February the 4th. And then for March, we're going to do a Women's History Month. And we're going to focus on African women during that time, because we have a lot of things that we really need to figure out for our girls, and we just need to really focus on us right now. So those are the two things that are coming up around here in Minneapolis.
Well, Mother Hattie, we look forward to those dates, and please mark your calendars and stay in touch. And listen, so can people follow Women United and the Million Woman March on any social media to stay up to date with what's going on?
Absolutely, most definitely. We have an astonishing person who's been working on putting all that together, and so the website for the Million Woman March 20-year anniversary, you would just write millionwomanmarch20.com, mm-hmm. and then you could follow the official Million Woman March MWM20 Minnesota on Facebook.
That's
what we're doing right now. And actually, any state that you're in, what you could do is certainly look at the website, the millionwomanmarch20.com, and you can follow your state. It will say official Million Woman March MWM20, and then your state name at the end of that for Facebook.
Oh,
so I hope I made that clear.
Mm-hmm. Right, so you can follow your state. Like if I'm in Texas, then I could search for Million Woman March Texas.
Official Million Woman March, because we don't want confusion. Official.
Okay.
Million Woman March MWM20 Texas.
Texas.
Yeah, Mississippi. And Delta Cougar, you will put in Official Million Woman March MWM20 Mississippi. And so that's what you would do in order to follow on Facebook. Now, this is a little bit of snafu. There has to be someone in your state who's a state coordinator that's doing that work. So we're in the process of making sure we get this built up. So maybe you can be your official coordinator in your state. We're looking for coordinators for each one of the states. Oh, by the way, there was a little error tonight in your... So in case people are not calling in, it's because the wrong number is on there. It should read 25, and I think it reads 28 on this text that was sent out.
Okay.
Tonight.
Oh.
So just FYI, just say 9025.
Thank you so much. We will take care of that.
Yes,
What's going on, King Bay?
Yes. How are you all doing this new year? Happy New You.
Mm-hmm.
I say Happy New You.
a stronger version of you and me.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's what's up.
I guess you guys have been hearing the news that this would-be president has signed into, he was using an executive order to bring back the pipelines, to cut the federal funding that would be enabling veterans to find jobs in the government.
Well, the 12 executive actions signed so far, Candy, and I'm so glad that you brought those up, because I did want to see the border wall, deportations, and sanctuary sites are some of the executive orders. And what else did you find, Candy?
It's like the staff is going like chickens with their head cut off, trying to keep up with his lunacy, because the spokeswoman for him, she got a good grilling from Chuck Todd this past Sunday on Meet the Press about this thing called alternative facts. And he told her outright.
Oh, alternative facts.
Yeah, you know, and like we're dealing with buffoonery. It wasn't so sad, but this man is a very sick man, and he is like a child let loose in your living room with a balloon, that the balloon is going every which way. And listen, as far as this Million Women's March, I still maintain, not because I'm trying to throw it in a monkey wrench, but I say the second person in command, until she comes clean to fess up what caused her to split with Reverend Al.
So are you speaking about Tamika Mallory?
Until it is clear that it is, it doesn't lack authenticity, that she is really authentic, I put nothing above Reverend Al for putting in a plant.
Well, wait a minute, King B. Hold on, because you went from the executive orders to the march. Right. Let's break some of this down. Let's unpack some of this. Right. Let's talk about the executive, because I know there's one in particular, the mother, the Delta may take issue with. So let me go to it. Okay, so let's see. So
Black Rose.
Many people have. Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go on. I was just going to ask you about, I don't know if it was executive order, but also the investigation for the Flint water crisis. It has been shut down. No more investigation. Is that executive order also?
I don't see that on here, but we must search that. Okay, abortion. President Trump has ordered that federal dollars cannot go to organizations that provide abortion services. Now, Delta is definitely pro-abortion. I'm not even going to say poor choice. She's pro-abortion. She said she'll take you there, okay, and risk getting beat up and everything by the anti-abortion people. But, yes, so Delta, I know that people like you are feeling some kind of way about that one. What are your thoughts on that particular executive order?
Well, you know, my thought is everybody have their own choice.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't feel like you should intrude on my rights, because I want to go and take my daughter and put her on the table. That is my business. I have a right to do that, and I don't think nobody should come and tell you what to do with your body. That burns me up.
Yes.
You gonna tell me to keep a baby and come into my house and keep a baby? You won't buy no milk, won't buy no Pampers, and a lot of times it could be from incest, it could be from rape. You don't know what is going on with a person, and a lot of times, if that's what they choose to do, you have no right to come and tell somebody what to do. And you know what? I used to hide behind it. I used to hide behind and not say what I believed because I was a Christian, mm-hmm. and wouldn't say what I believed. I'm not hiding behind it no more. My name is Dorothy Knobs Dunning. I believe in abortion. And I'm not going to hide on soil rock anymore and hide my hair.
Here's the hypocrisy, Mother Dunning.
That's right. I'm not going to do it anymore. That's what
that's
I believe.
Right. That's right.
And if
that's
I
right.
stand before the church, that's what I'm going to tell them. That's
what
I'm going
to
tell
here's the hypocrisy. The same people who...
The majority of my little nieces, we believe it. We'll take you there in a minute.
Delta, we need you to speak in your mic a little bit closer, please. You sound a,
okay,
just a little
said
faint.
Okay, can you hear me better now?
Just a little bit. You still sound somewhat faint, though.
Hold on, let me see.
Go ahead, King B, while she's getting this.
It sounds clear to me, but here's what I think is the hypocrisy, you guys. Mm-hmm. Those same people who are against abortions are for the death penalty. They are such hypocrites that mm-hmm. if the mother don't want that child mm-hmm. and know that she can't raise the child because the father is not going to be there to help her raise that child, the father don't have the means to give her the economic support, so now she raises a child that is going to end up in the wrong crowd, getting into trouble with the police, ends up in the court system, and ends up in jail, and is waiting for the date to be executed. None of these pro-life people would dare stand up and say, no, we don't want to take a life because we can't give a life. They will take a life. And those same people who are against abortion will take a life when your child reaches that maturity and commits a capital crime. Your child is going to go to the death chamber. And that this Cheeto cheese looking creep in the White House, he is such a madman, so much against women, that I wish the women, those same tons of women that was in Washington, D.C. and across the nation would understand it's not enough to just come to Washington, D.C. and go back home and wait for the next God knows for what. I say come back down to Washington and tarry a while. I'm saying church until the Holy Ghost hits you. Tarry a while. Even if it means civil disobedience, getting arrested for civil disobedience, or tying up the courts, filling up the jails. This is war. This man here and his stooges, they intend to turn back the hands of time. They feel highly threatened by the fact that black people are not going for the okey-doke, for most of us are not. The ones who are caught up in this class thing, they're trying to hang on like Clarence Thomas and, you know, his club. They're trying to hang on for dear life because they're not ready to confront white supremacy because they see nothing wrong with white supremacy. They are accommodationists for white supremacy. So we've got to deal with those women who are still not clear about what we're up against. This is a madman who admired the teachings of both the philosophy of both Hitler and Mussolini. He's a third generation German. He talks like a he walks like a quack duck, talks like a duck, quacked like a duck. He must be a duck. The man is a Nazi, and that he will use his he's being used by the Zionists. You saw what he did. Wants to move the capital of Jerusalem into Israel from the Palestinian territory, Arab territory, into Israel.
No, but I did just see this pop up on my news feed. Trump will publish a weekly list of crimes committed by undocumented immigrants as a way to pressure sanctuary cities. Wait a minute. I know people feel different ways about immigrants. I understand that. And I do want to say something else on the abortion, but if I could just quickly speak on this. When it comes to illegal immigrants, quote-unquote illegal immigrants, my whole problem is, and I understand how some people feel like other people are coming here taking out jobs and things like that, and whatever, taking up places, places and spaces in universities or whatever. I hear you. But my whole point is, when you ask some of these same people, goes right back to like what you're saying, Candy, when you ask some of these same people, where did your great-grandfather come from? Mm-hmm. 9 times out of 10, they're going to say Poland, Ireland,
Italy,
all of these different kinds of places. Italy.
They're the most ardent racist reactionaries. And you see,
so they're immigrants.
A lie. They're living a lie. Hello?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They're living,
so that's
they're living
my
a lie.
On that.
And they do not want to deal with truth. They're not about truth.
And what happened to that little cartoon that people used to play? What happened to that little cartoon that used to play about what this land is your land, this land is my land, and pod and all of that? What happened to all of that? So anyway, it's whatever, because you know me, I'm going to live my life regardless. That's not my issue. Immigration is totally not my issue. I'm just like, whatever. Delta, with the abortion, I agree with you on that. And I also don't want to see people continuously abort babies. I would love for them to think of other options in terms
like adoption.
Of abortion, adoption, yeah. Or abstinence, like Mother Hattie preaches. I say hi. So
no,
I say,
no,
what are
no.
your thoughts?
Wait,
what are your thoughts?
These folks ain't gonna stop having sex.
Well, some of them might. Some of them might. So I know a
no,
group
no,
of young
no, tell
people.
That. Tell that lover boy.
Vow to
lover
not
boy.
Have sex until marriage.
Yeah,
some,
right.
Some
tell
young
that,
people.
Tell that,
very
that.
Rare.
Well, just
yeah,
because,
very rare.
Just because all of you are freaky and fornicate.
Nothing wrong
and all
with being freaky. Nothing wrong with being freaky. You can be freaky all day long, but protect yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
All kinds of sadistic,
you
little nasty sex.
Yeah,
I have
thank
you. To protect
you.
A nasty woman, like Trump
said. Tell those young boys. You tell those young boys. That if you want to my organ, you must put on your raincoat first. And everybody should know what a raincoat is. Because a lot of the young boys, first of all, they don't wash themselves halfway decent. Now they want to put their traducer into this girl's organ when not only is he spreading unwanted child possibility, but giving her an infection.
Mm-hmm.
But, okay, but since it's women's night, and I don't mean to cut you off, Candy. Mm-hmm. I just got a good thought. Since we're talking about women's tonight, let's go back for 1 second to women's night. Y'all may get offended, but we're talking about women's night.
That's right, no,
we got, and we got to take control of our own life as women. We cannot look to no guy to take control of our life. We got to do this for ourselves. And women are, and people may not like what I'm going to say, women are got to stop being so stupid. You got to stop being stupid. And if you know he got 3 babies over here and 4 babies over there, why you want your baby to be number 10?
As usual,
I'm going to have to speak up on that one. This is war. Number one thing you have to understand about, I think, the abortion issue is this. If these individuals are coming in now and they're stopping that, you see, America has one resource left, and that resource is, guess what? Human resources. Their deal is have the babies. It certainly isn't because you want or care about black children or any children. Have the babies, because what we're going to do is we're going to use them for free labor. We're going to use them because there's so many structures in place to interfere with your families now. Our family is so much interference. You got child protection interference. You got all of this other stuff interference, mass incarceration. It's just absolutely everything is set up to have the baby, produce it, and go on. Now, that's number one. Number two, the other thing is this. We definitely do need to take care of our bodies, but the men and boys, the little boys, I believe Canty's right, they have to take some responsibility for it, too. And the third and final thing, and I'm going to shut up. Because of this war, this might be God's way of helping us in sheer numbers to survive this Holocaust that has been and that is even coming. Okay? So maybe just the sheer numbers, five babies over here, three black babies over there, might be our saving grace to keep our people, African people, alive.
Because we are
now,
that's my thoughts on everything that everybody's
been saying.
See, we are the number one arch nemesis as far as white supremacists, as white supremacy is concerned, white supremacists are concerned. It bothers these white supremacists that black people are survivors. They have tried everything in the book to diminish the population of black people because they fear. See, no one told black people, and our young people don't even know this to this day. No one's telling our young people the white man's number one fear is genetic annihilation. Dominant gene factor.
What?
See, they know that the black man has a weapon that God gave him, and it's not the nuclear bomb. It's that weapon that hangs between his legs. And that these young women that are not aware that these young boys, that they're testosterone full-blown, and that they got to now go out there and answer the call to do that natural thing, but they had no training from their fathers or responsible brother, older brother, or uncle to tell them, this is how you behave to keep the young lady from getting into trouble with the unwanted child.
But wait a minute, hold on, Candy, let me say this. And to that point, you are exactly right. There's no one to give them that guidance. Now, let's examine why no one is there. Because it has been systematically arranged for the black man to be out of the home of that family. And if you don't believe me, Claudine the movie, 1974, tried to show us that. The black man has systematically been forced out of the home in so many different ways. Thank goodness there are some families that have been able to sustain under this these war tactics of trying to destroy the black family.
Yep.
So
not,
just
not, can I say something on that?
Sure.
Well, yes, that's true to a certain degree, but a lot of the, excuse my French, a lot of the bastards are out of the homes because they want to be out of the home. A lot of them don't want responsibilities. They do not want responsibilities. What is wrong? See, now I'm just got to keep it real. Why do they not want responsibilities? Why are they running from their responsibilities?
It goes back to them not having that structure and that guidance.
Thank you.
It goes so far back from when you take a person out of their culture and when you separate families and when you don't have the mother and father. That's why we see all these wars in different places on the continent and in Honduras and all. When you separate these parents, when you kill off the mother and kill off the father, and then you have these orphan children, and then they say, ooh, they don't even know how to survive. How the hell I know how to survive when you killed my damn parents when I was three? And I had nobody to continue teaching me the culture. How am I supposed to survive when you dump drugs in my neighborhood and my mama on crack and my dad is in jail because he got caught up in the dope game because you disenfranchised us and didn't want to hire my goddamn daddy. So he had to sell drugs or do whatever to feed my family.
Right.
But I'm supposed to survive and have responsibility now.
And how about these young women in these underdeveloped countries that are raped by these white executives or white men who come to these poor countries for one purpose only, to get these young girls to use them as sex slaves, and then there's nothing to help these young girls if they get pregnant by these white boys. And it's so sad. Huh? Sorry?
You saying something? You said. Sorry.
I'm here, Candy. Go ahead. I'm here. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying that the idea that these young women that are in these poor, underdeveloped countries, where these dictators are supported by this government. See, there's two kind of dictators: bad dictators and good dictators. Well, these good dictators, as far as this one is concerned, they don't mind letting their people be exploited. The land is not being freed up, and you get all this problem with young women who are used as sex slaves. A lot of times they are sold off to white men who use them as sex slaves. Now, when they come to this country, they have no skills, many of them. Some of them are working menial jobs, jobs that black people and white people wouldn't dare want to work at. You know, I've seen Mexican women clean housing of these Hasidic families right in my neighborhood. And you got the Hasidic woman standing over her like she's a slave master, making sure this poor Mexican woman is cleaning her house properly. And you would be amazed the nastiness of the way they handle their garbage. But the idea that these Mexican women are coming over here and they're working a job that you wouldn't even think about wanting to work in. So the sexism in this country, the racism, and the classism. Now, when they come here, they are despised and rejected, but no one wants those jobs that these people who come from poor, underprivileged, underdeveloped nations are working at. And you get these rich migrants coming in here from Taiwan and from Hong Kong. They come from well-to-do families, paying six figures for their green card, paying mega bucks to go to a college right across the street from where I live, called Pratt Institute. They're going to LIU. A lot of them are going to Columbia. Columbia is, like, as far as I'm concerned, Hong Kong University. And we've seen so many Orientals coming out of Columbia, which is a block away from my church. And it is just astounding how these people are under the illusion that they're white. But this class thing and this race thing, this sex thing is very much a thing that black people have got to understand, that no one wants to respect black people for one reason only. We never had political nor legal protection.
All right, Canty. All right, let's bring it back to the women. I want to hear what you guys' thoughts on the march that took place, because what I'm feeling, say for instance, like even with the Empress Chi's official Million Women March, if we had that many people, if we had that energy amongst us black women working in our community, if we could just pull it together and work together on so many different levels, just think what we could accomplish.
Exactly.
Because
the reason why it's not going to happen, it talks about all these
beautiful warrior women and how they led battles. And when we close out, I want to play this clip of Winnie Mandela.
My girl.
Nelson Mandela's wife. Last year, she spoke. And she addressed women at this women's banquet. So I do, please stay tuned for that in the second hour of the Mind, Body, and Spirit show. But listen, I want to hear what your thoughts on this march and how we could collectively focus that energy on building our communities, building ourselves. A lot of us need to build ourselves first and then branch out into the community.
See, this thing with our people coming together is going to be very difficult when you got those people who are in these sorority. Hello?
We can't hear you, King B. And call back.
Yeah, you can't hear me.
There's too many issues.
Like you're chopping up.
Yeah, Black Rose, you're chopping up. I don't know if that's your browser, because you called in through your computer, but yeah, you were breaking up. We got you back. But if we could watch the crosstalk, it's hard to hear when somebody's talking over somebody else and they haven't finished. So let's try to watch that, because we can't understand it. It just sounds, you know, jumbled. Black Rose, do we have you?
Yes, it does. Thank you, sir.
Let's try to work out your audio issue.
Yes. Is that better? I sure certainly hope that I'm not continuing to break
yes,
up like that.
Yes, that's better.
Is that better?
Yes.
Yeah, that's better. Not as choppy.
Okay. Great. I hope so. All right. Let me see. Okay, so Delta, share your thoughts.
Yeah, I think the march was a good thing. I think they had a lot of good things they were saying. They were saying they won't change. They were saying they're going to keep their eye on him. They were saying everything that he do, they was going to go over it with a fine-tooth comb. They wasn't going to let him get away with nothing outrageous. They was going to come back and they was going to check him on it. But most of all, like everybody was saying, when it was all over, it was a good rally. Even there, and let me tell y'all how the rally got started. That's why my hat is off to Miss Hattie M and different ones who's trying to put on a march. This march got started with a lady. I saw this. She gave the interview on CNN. She wanted to do something. She just posted on Facebook and told her daughter she would like to march to protest against Trump policies. And the lady said she just posted it on her Facebook. And the lady said, next thing you know, she had 100 hits. Next thing you know, people started sharing it. And that's how the march got started. They had no idea that the march was going to take off like this. So in our community as women, we have to take a stand. And once we take a stand, we okay. Now let me go back to the march. I applaud the women for taking a stand. And they took a stand to say, hey, we keeping our eye on you. We don't like what you done. We don't like how you treat the people. Now, see, y'all may get upset with me about this. I'm keeping it towards some of the policies they said at the medium march. I mean, the women's march. Like, some of the policies I agree with, and some of the policies I don't. Now, see, y'all may.
So, what did you agree with? So, what did you know? Let's just talk about it. So, what policies do you agree with?
I agree with the ban from the different countries. I agree with that.
You agree with what?
I'm being honest. Y'all want me to be honest? I'm being honest. Yes, I'll agree.
She doesn't like the immigration. She doesn't like the immigrants coming in. It's what.
Right.
This is what I'm saying is, if it's going to keep the country safe and keep the terrorists out.
I just, oh God, I gotta talk to you about time tomorrow. Lord have mercy. And what else? But y'all want me to speak? Y'all want me to be honest and speak my opinion? No, yeah. And we're just like, Lord have mercy. Yeah. Find out who the real terrorists are. And then, anyway.
And always keep in mind what we said was this. Always look for so many different sources on formulating your opinions, I think, because CNN, see, we don't really have a good media outlet right now. There are no journalists. No. These people are going along with whatever this shadow government says. See, this man's not in control. The shadow government is in control. And we know who that is.
They are overly paid stenographers. They're overly paid stenographers. That's all they are.
No real investigative reporters or journalists.
Nope.
They're just news readers.
That's not actually what they reported. That's not how that got started. It's not true.
And then about going in Chicago, like he just said that he's gonna send the feds in Chicago. But they said he made a request to Rahm Emanuel that he wanted to send the feds in, but he hadn't heard anything back from Rahm Emanuel. Now, I agree with that in a sense, to send people in. And now let me tell you why I agree with that one, y'all.
To send the feds into Chicago?
Yeah.
To what feds?
Yeah. Probably.
ICE. ICE.
That's all ICE over the news.
What feds is what I'm asking you?
The federal government.
Are you talking about... Are you talking about the police stuff that's going on? I don't know. Are you talking about the Attorney General? Who is the Attorney General going to be, though?
It may not be Sessions.
I don't know, but now let me explain my point of view.
Loretta Lynch in?
Well, she is going to be held over. She's being held over.
She dealt to listen to what they said on the news. And is, you know, okay, we'll pull the article and.
Okay, but listen, that's what I'm trying to say.
Exactly.
He said that it was on the news today that, and it's on all the TV shows that he's requesting no listen, and then y'all can say, and I'll be quiet.
I'm telling you, you don't have to be quiet, Delta.
I'm thinking about all the little people this and all the people cheering are getting killed up there. So what I'm saying, if he can do something to stop these people, kids, from getting killed, I don't see no harm in that. Nobody wants to see their children killed.
Okay, so the article reads, President Trump tweeted Tuesday night that he will send in the feds if Chicago doesn't take care of his gun violence problem. But what could this involve is the question. So that's basically what he tweeted. If anybody's been following all of that, he's like basically been tweeting out his policies or something, but I really haven't been paying attention to any of that. Yeah. I have to be honest. I'm paying attention, but not paying attention. And when I spoke with Brother Brown the other day, that's exactly what he said. We have to pay attention, of course. Of course, I'm not just going to not be aware of what's going on, but I had to just take a break from all of that, really, because I'm on this fast. I'm detoxing and cleansing my body. I'm meditating. I'm relaxing. I'm taking care of business. And right now, I just don't have time. I know how to catch up on it. Thank goodness I know how to Google, and I do know how to go on like BTR, Black Social Media by Scotty Reed, and catch up on some news. I can go on Twitter, Instagram, all of that. So I'm with these millennials on that, and Nutrice Leeds. So I have my alternative media sites, and that's why they're trying these Obama and the rest of these people, not just Obama, but all of these people, these unseen hands, are attempting to silence and neutralize alternative media with all this fake news. That's what the whole, it's just ridiculous. These people play games on top of games on top of games only to confuse and discombobulate people even more. It's amazing.
You see how women who have children that drink the poisonous water in Flint, Michigan, no one is putting up the money so far to help these children once they are psychologically damaged neurological damage. No one's helping these mothers to help these children that's going to be damaged for life. There's the money coming in. And what kills me, the mayor of Flint, that her people paying this high water tax, and she has not said not one iota, my people will not be paying not a dime until the water is fit for humankind. And it's so sad that women with children who are poisoned for life. You just can't get rid of lead poisoning or in a few years, in a few months. No, it's a lifetime condemnation. The tragedy with our people is that women who are poor, destitute, trying to pay their rent, not to be kicked out on the street, women who are now dealing with a child that's poisoned from poisonous water in Flint, Michigan. And the idea that no one is talking about, well, what happens when a mother is found to have a child and she cannot afford to get the child properly treated because she don't have the monies? And then this Trump knucklehead, he's taking away health care that was Obamacare, but now they have nothing to replace Obamacare. Nothing to replace it.
Well, maybe they'll have something. Maybe he'll present something by the end of the weekend. We'll just have to see. And you know what? Maybe we may figure out how to go back to some old ways of healing our bodies. Maybe we just may do that.
We're gonna have to do something like that because
exactly. This is the shift. This is the shift. But listen, I want to definitely mention. Before we go to break, over the past 2 years, I know that there's been this hashtag, Oscars So White. So this year, there are a number of films with Black, African American people being nominated for Oscars. So I'm so looking forward to seeing Hidden Figures. I have not seen that one yet, and I remember the Golden Globes hashtag about Hidden Fences because a couple of people misspoke and jumbled up the names of these films because Black movies are just so insignificant. I just can't even remember the names. Oh my goodness, it's
not by accident.
Right.
No.
So anyway, yes, I'm going to see Hidden Figures this weekend. Icy Hot, Mother Delta, have either of you seen Hidden Figures? I heard about this.
Oh my God!
Click it online. I've seen the trailer, but I have to. You can watch it on the internet too, I think.
Go to the theater and watch it. Pay the money. Go see the film.
I'm going to I'm going to see that, and I also have this new Fire Stick. I need to figure out what to do with it. But I will go and see this because I do want to see it on the big screen. I tell you, it's just been so difficult over the years for me to make it to see a film. But I did see Fences.
Now,
I just need to see Hidden Figures.
Yeah. Did you notice that scene that Viola Davis played? Here was a woman. She had no money. Was with a Black man who was able to hold on a job, but he got involved with a woman and had this child. And the way she handled it today, no matter how much a Black woman claims she might love her child, her husband these days, or her boyfriend, if he told her he's got another woman pregnant outside of her home, she would put him out in his clothing and he's done. That woman, this woman, the role of Viola Davis played, she had a serious subliminal message for Black women of today, where this Black man not only was so sorry for what he did, but he brought the baby to
Hold on, Kansi. Before you go into all of that, I just have to say, Viola Davis played that part, and she is one of the people that is up for an Oscar. I believe her and Octavia Spencer are both up for Best Supporting Actress. I have to pull that list. But, oh my gosh, Viola deserves this one because Octavia Spencer won that Oscar, the Academy Award for The Help. So it is time. Viola Davis. Now, this film, Moonlight, I've been hearing so much about this film, Moonlight, and then we have to take a break. I know Delta has a few hot topics. We'll have to hear Delta's hot topics also. But this film, Moonlight, which I have not seen, I kept hearing all this buzz about moonlight. And so finally today, when I went online to see, now I see why there's such a buzz about it, because it's about some gay man living in Miami. That's basically what I could gather from it. But I'm sure, yes, there were quite a few people that would enjoy seeing a film about a gay man walking around living in Miami. So,
openly gay?
I suppose so. What the film, the IBN page says is Moonlight is about a gay man in Miami. Let's see. Let's take this call. Let's see. Caller from 973. You have a question or a comment? Welcome into Mind, Body, and Spirit. Your mic is open. Caller. 973-783. All right. So, caller, let us know when you're ready to speak. But, deserves that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But, you know, they robbed the sister who was in Hidden Figures, who was the one wearing the glasses. I forgot her name, but she started in Empire.
Taraji. Taraji, yeah. Yes,
Taraji. So
I love Taraji.
They gave it to Olivia, but denied it to Taraji, and she was the one that was doing the math that kept the NASA on the ropes. Had not been for her brilliant mind about knowing what math equation to use, it would have been over for NASA.
And that's she did a that math, woman. The power of a woman.
Yes.
So relevant.
And it also shows how black people were always genius, but we were beaten down so bad that we began to believe that we are nothing. We never did create anything and could do anything like math. She solved the equation that caused NASA to go to the moon. I mean, just figure that out. This woman was such a genius.
Right.
And the way, the way she played that role, it was so convincing.
I have to agree with Scotty saying that's something that we always do, and that's we always seem to turn over secrets, turn around knowledge, surrender all of our knowledge to building somebody else's empire. Why do we continue to do that? And so I'm hoping that in 2017 that women, because of whatever march they went to, whatever happened in their lives, I hope that in 2017 women will feel that they have the power to change their lives and to become a stronger version of themselves. And that's what Mind, Body, and Spirit is all about. It's about solutions. This is about healing. This is about helping. Mind, Body, and Spirit Radio Show is about us touching and connecting with each other. And so I think we're going to take a break in just a second, and then Delta, do you have some hot topics for us?
Yeah, we got
all right.
First black judge.
Delta, when we come back from the break, when we come back from the day break, Delta, then come on in with those hot topics. But right now, you are listening to the Mind, Body, and Spirit Radio Show, and we will be right back. Stay tuned, and we will play that Winnie Mandela address to women. Mind, Body, and Spirit. We'll be right back. Take it to the bridge. Oh, yes.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
All right, and we are back here at the Mind, Body, and Spirit Radio Show, and you can tune in. Go onto the Black Talk Radio Network page and donate to the Black Talk Media Project. so that we can continue bringing you this Black Talk Media. Delta, let me get your mic open there. All right, so Delta, I know you have some hot topics for us.
Yes, we got, they got the first ever in the state of Alabama where Jeff Sessions come from. Now listen at y'all, in history, they got the first Black district attorney who won and was a Black woman. She have made history. They never had a Black woman as district attorney and ran for office and won. They have never had that office held by any Black person, especially a Black woman. Just won that seat last week, and that is a history moment. Imagine the whole state.
Now say that again for me, Delta. Now she is, and what's her name?
Okay, I don't have the name. I don't have the article before me. Y'all forgive me.
Delta.
I'm sorry. But
so now where is she?
The state of Alabama. But she's from Jeff Sessions come from. But listen at what I'm saying. No Black person have ever held that position. You win that position by running for office. And the Black woman surprised everybody. But she was the assistant. And they voted her in. And the people said they didn't look at her color. They looked at her credentials. Because she was the assistant and she knew the job. And she ran. And she won. She won. And that is history. It hadn't been. She the first one in the state of Alabama whoever held that position and won and ran and won. So that is a Black history moment.
It certainly is, Delta. Thank you.
It is to me that then we have a young Black man from Michigan. He's 21 years old. He made history. He won our first representative, the youngest Black representative in the town of Michigan. So, in Saginaw, Michigan. So what I'm saying is, that's a history-making moment. Then now let me give you something else. We have a Black boy, or a Black young man, him and his friend, and the man is a young man is a businessman. And he was in some part of Georgia, and he was eating lunch at this restaurant. And he had been eating there, he said, over 10 years. He never had a problem or anything. And he said he loved the restaurant. He would go to it frequently. So he went in one day and to eat his lunch in his business suit and tie and briefcase. He sat down with one of his co-workers or clients. The manager came from out, the owner came from out in the back of the restaurant, told them they had to leave. The young man asked him, looked like he about in his late 30s. He asked him, why do we have to leave? We're not doing anything. We're not being loud. He said, we don't want your kind here. We don't want your kind here anymore. Donald Trump won, and now we can speak our true mind. So, people, we are for a rude awakening. I mean, I know I like some of Donald Trump's policies, but I don't like a lot of hatred and bigotry.
Well, I don't know why people aim for a rude awakening. If they had been just paying attention all their lives in terms of what's going on and not just living in their bubble, then they wouldn't be so much for a rude awakening. So, but you're right. I guess some people are because they have been living in a bubble and not realizing that this is a racist country that promotes all kinds of division and poverty and hatred for other people and fear and greed.
But then also too, let me say this and then I'll let someone else talk. They did a CNN town hall meeting tonight, and they went into all these different states, and they went into the coal miner state, and they asked them, why did you vote for Donald Trump? And they said the main reason they really voted because they was losing jobs by the thousand, and they wanted jobs.
They should have known that their jobs were going out with all of this different technology being integrated into the workplace. So they should have known that. People are always dependent on jobs.
Yeah, but you know what? When you see, when you got a family and kids and a wife,
you need to be thinking about their future.
Your family got to be taken care of. That's what they were thinking on. But anyway, let me tell you the story. And late, they were speaking to them tonight, and the lady began to cry. She was saying, "I didn't really believe." She said, "I really, truly, and I'm so sorry." She said, "I thought it was just a lot of rhetoric." She said, "A lot of people really didn't believe that he was going to do what he said he was going to do." She said, "People thought he was just saying this in order to get votes. Nobody really believed that he was going to ban people and do this." So now a lot of the people who voted, now it's like a rude awakening to them. But the CNN media said that they knew from day one he was going to do what he was going to do. Because all you have is his history and follow his path. So that's my thought. If anybody else want to comment, those are my hot topics. Hello?
Those people that are concerned. You said what? I see. No, I was just going to reiterate what I spoke about the jobs coming back. They're not coming back. So many, it's evident they're not, because of this is the change of times once again, just like when computers replace people. Now robots are getting ready to replace more and more people. I was reading this article, and then I'll be quiet.
The UPS, they're replacing the UPS workers.
They have this new, I can't think of the name of this machine, it's something like a UKB or whatever, versus, okay, this robot, rather, is used in the warehouses, whereas you used to have people that would pull orders from the, like, warehouse, whatever, line or stock, and, like, if you ordered something from a particular company, a large factory or something. But those people, their jobs have been replaced by this robot that has been coded and programmed to retrieve that. So now companies are able to have, they've been able to cut their workforce more than in half just by having, like, now maybe 5 workers, say, versus having 100. It's ridiculous. So these are the times. That CEO of McDonald's, I believe, he's the one that said he'd rather have robots working because they don't need vacation days and they can't file sexual harassment suits. These people don't care anything about people having a job. So people really need to start focusing on how you're going to survive in the future, because those jobs are not going to be here. People are going to start having to take classes online. Everything is about to change. This is the shift. So you just need to get prepared for it. And I do feel so sorry for those people. I really do. Because I know what it's like to be unemployed and afraid when you have bills to pay. Thank goodness I don't have any children. So I do really, really feel really, really sad for them, but it is really time for us to just make that shift. Now, Icy Hot, I know you want to share something. Then I have a poem that I have to read for our mind, body, and spirit piece.
Oh, I was just going to say that Delta Cougar, thank you so much for all that positive news. I really appreciated it.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Delta. Thank you're right, because you did have some positive pieces for us. We need to find that sister's name you spoke about, because we must follow her and see if she's someone that maybe we can support or pay attention to what's going on. Because I would also like to catch up on what's going on with Marilyn Mosby there in Philadelphia, who was the attorney for the Freddie Gress, Baltimore. Thank you. And the Freddie Gray case against the police officers.
And can I do an update, y'all, please?
Okay, what update do you have?
A while back, just another hot topic. I told you where the 5-year-old girl was murdered here. I know y'all don't like to talk about it, but this is something I want y'all to call in and write, as people hear my voice. We need to call in and write, and don't let him get away. The 5-year-old little black child that was killed 2 years ago, Garcia, a Mexican guy, they sentenced him to death 2 days. But the white man, the Mexican guy, said the white man is the one that snatched the child first. He said when he went to the house, the baby was already tied up. They let the white man testify against the Mexican man and set the white man free. So we need to
set him free.
Oh yes, yes. This is why I'm telling this story.
And so I remember this story. I do remember this story when you told us about the little girl. She disappeared.
That's right. The NAACP and all of them came down. Well, they need to come back down because they let the white man go. But the Mexican man said that the baby was already tied up. So that's a story that we need to stay on, because they let the white man go free. They sentenced the Mexican man to death today. So the white man is out walking around.
Well, and I'm sure there's some type of Latino. I'm sure there's some type of Latino community there also that needs to support the brother. They need to be organizing, and I'm sure they are. But let us know if you hear anything about them organizing as well.
Now, he admitted to raping the baby. He admitted to his
court. Oh, wait a minute. Lord have mercy. Wait a minute. Hold on.
I was wondering, what do you mean, that brother? No, ain't no brother. No, neither one of them.
Hell
but the problem
no.
is they both need to be sentenced. They both need to be sentenced. That is what I'm trying to say.
Excuse me. Child, I don't want to hear anything else about those crazy-ass people. Let me read this poem. Okay, this is the poem that Feather Life is asking us to share for the mind, body, and spirit piece. So let me try to get into a poetry voice. Oh, Lord, Delta brought that rapist into this arena of mind, body, and spirit. Woo, Delta, Lord have mercy. Let's read this poem about this about women. Oh, that just hurt my heart. I had to really think about it and listen to what you were saying. Oh, my goodness. Let me massage my heart. Oh, goodness gracious. Okay, everybody massage your heart. Massage your heart. Massage your heart and come into a peaceful, 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 peaceful place. Okay, because we have to keep the air clean and relax. Okay, all right. This is a poem for every woman. This is for every woman who cries herself to sleep, who lies alone in bed at night, who stays awake, unable to sleep. This is for every woman who is scared of being hurt again, who has been left behind, heartbroken, who needs to be given something to believe in. This is for every woman who needs to feel wanted, who wants to feel desirable, who feels like no one else even cares. This is for every woman who has loved another freely, who shows how much she cares, who accepts others for who they are, You are beautiful. Everything will be okay if you can believe in yourself, but most of all, please love yourself. Angela Davis, when I accept myself, I am freed from the burden of needing you to accept me. And I think that that is very, very, very significant and relevant for Black women, because in so many ways, we have had to try to, attempted to be accepted and blend in and not be too Black at some point. So many of us, maybe not you and maybe not you, but so many of us have had to basically pretty much assimilate. So it's important for us to love ourselves and understand our value and be grateful, most of all, and understand how royal and beautiful we are, and make it a point when you see these, especially young sisters, young babies, and they have this natural hair and this nice, sweet look about themselves. Say something nice and special to them, something encouraging to them, because these children are bullied so much, and for that child to have enough strength to say, I'm not going to feel that I have to have weave down my back in order to be pretty, that I can wear my hair the way it is, the way that it grows out of my scalp. I am loving me. I always try to give them a compliment. I saw a young girl today, thick, beautiful afro hair. And I had to make a point of saying, oh, your hair is beautiful. And she just kind of looked like she complimented me. And I want her to know that she is beautiful. I want our young girls to know their beauty and value their beauty. So I love this poem that Featherlight shared with us by Angela Davis, because we don't need to continue to burden ourselves with trying to be accepted. We only have to love ourselves and know ourselves and be comfortable with ourselves, I would say. Ladies, you have any thoughts on the poem?
Yes, I do.
What you have, Delta?
Yes. We must think highly of ourselves. And like you said, mm-hmm. we have been conditioned so to think, and I must say I'm kind of that way too, mm-hmm. that we have to have long hair and put the weave in our head, and we think that the only way we be looking nice, it's mostly like a stereotype. We think that if we don't have the good weave, then we've not accepted, we've not beautiful. And so now with everybody being natural and stuff, a lot of the natural now is looking so pretty. I like a lot of it. I even like the low cut. But most of all, changing your hair, changing your weave don't matter anything. You got to go down within in order to feel good about yourself. First, you got to realize within that, hey, I feel good about myself. No matter if my hair may not be straight, no matter if my skin is dark, no matter if my skin is brown, I still feel good about myself. And this is
however you are, whatever size you are, whatever color you are. And let me just say this really, really quickly about the weave, Delta. And it's absolutely nothing at all wrong with Black women wearing wigs or wearing weaves, because ancient African women like Queen Tai created wigs and weaves. Egyptian and African Nubian men, depending on where you lived and what time of the what time period, what era you were in. At one time, there was so much radiation coming through certain parts of the earth. You had to have some type of protective gear over your head and your hair. So weaves and wigs are something that we wear for many reasons. Extensions. If you look at some of the ancient African hairstyles, the women would use twigs and animal hair, feathers, all kinds of materials in their hair to make these elaborate hairstyles. So it is absolutely nothing wrong with black women or anybody adding any extensions or wearing a wig to your hair. But when we get down to the whole psychological reason as to why some people have to feel like that they have to have a like some super straight hair or long hair. I saw this young little girl the other day, not even in high school. She had that, and I call it, this is what I call it, she had that stripper hair all the way down to her butt. And I said to myself, but why? But why? But why?
And the mother bought it.
And the mother bought, yes. And she's not the first one that I've seen. So many, but I'm like, but why?
And they're paying $300 and $400 for it.
Just for the hair, they haven't even gone to get it sewn in yet. I know. Yes. Yes. I used to wear weaves. And you know, these young girls, they want top of the line hair. They don't buy that $10, what is it?
They show length. They ain't gonna buy
the $10 bun. I forgot which. Right. Now, these sisters buying hair $200, $300, $400 a bag. Okay. So.
Mm-hmm. And you know what?
It's really something. So, go ahead, Delta.
I was finna say, you know, Papa was making a comment, and Papa said, now this may sound cruel, but Papa say half of them is probably on assistance and buying all. He's saying they. Papa said they own. He said they're on government assistance. And the government assistance should be taking care of their homes. I'm not saying their homes ain't being taken care of. Don't get me wrong, because I don't want them to come and bash us. But half of them is on government assistance. But what can you do, you know?
Well, they want
but okay. I must say this.
Okay, so go on. I'm sorry. I can't wait. There
go ahead.
All I want to know is when we gonna go stand outside of them stores and find them women coming out there buying that $300-$400 hair and change their world, help them to understand some things.
That's a good point.
Could you repeat that? I see that.
No, I'm just saying, when we going to go stand out front of them stores, mm-hmm. hang around in there, see who buying that $400 hair, and help them to understand some things?
Oh, absolutely. Now, you are exactly right to help people to see why is it that you feel you need this hair and you need to have it so long. And you feel that this is the standard of beauty. When at one time Queen Tawa, her nappy, nice little, what do you call it, a cute little tight afro, was like the standard of beauty.
They have brought into some of this mess, and that's mm-hmm. where they are. They don't know who they are.
Yes, and yes, I think that definitely when we as black women really, really, really realize who we are. And that's what I wanted to really touch on tonight with this whole topic, is knowing who we are. And when we put all of that energy together and we work together and organize and pull all of that energy all around. Imagine if at 12 o'clock on one day, all women who have been suffering all around the world, like Winnie Mandela speaks about in this address, if we came together and just, whatever you want to call it, pray, meditate, sun gaze, I don't know, sleep, whatever it is that you do, if we just all put that energy together at 12 p.m. one day, and focus and intention on something, be it healing, liberation, but something powerful, everything will shift the next day.
And also, I've seen in China, what China is mandating, they mandating this. Everyone in their country has
one
to
child.
Take. No. They have to start meditating. It was on the news. They found out that it relaxes you, help your thought process, everything. You have to do that. You got to do it for one yoga for 1 hour. It's mandatory. You got to do it for 7 days a week. And if you don't do it, you're going to be in trouble with the government.
Mandating yoga and meditation, which is really helpful. That's very helpful, but I don't know if I don't know if people would appreciate it being mandated. I do that voluntarily. So,
excuse me, I don't mean to talk over you. I must say one more thing about the weed. I know personally, I have spoke to someone about they weed. And the only reason I said something, one of my church members, she was boasting and bragging to me. She had an 11-year-old granddaughter. And she was boasting and bragging that she took her granddaughter and had weed put in her hair. And she was showed me the picture of the young child. And I spoke to her. I said, before I knew it, it just came out. I said, are you crazy? Why would you go and dress this child up like this and put this expensive weave in her hair? I said, this is too grown. This is too grown for her. And the woman got offended. She took offense to that. So, and like Ms. Hattie was saying, you can go out there and try to talk to them, but some of them you can't talk to. Because I didn't mean no harm, but I was trying to tell the woman. She was boasting and bagging. She paid almost $300. This is an 11-year-old child.
11-year-old child. That's what I'm saying, 11 years of age. That's why do you feel like you need that? And why is the mom spending that kind of money?
This was the grandmother.
The grandmother, mother, all of it is the same.
Yeah.
Well, she's telling that little girl is that your natural beauty is not good enough.
It's not good enough. And this is
and
what...
Plus, it's going to destroy the child's hair. That stuff destroys your hair.
And just like Serena Williams, to me, now y'all may get offensive when I say this, Serena Williams to me, and not only her, to all the other ones who falls in this category, is saying that a black man is not good enough for me. He don't validate me. I got to have a white man on my arm. No matter how successful I am, no matter how powerful I am in my own, you know, I can't use that proper word. In my own right. I got to put a white man on my arm in order to validate me. So to me, I disagree with that. And
Delta,
No, she didn't say that, but she said the black men didn't make her feel good about herself. She did an article, and she said the black men didn't make her feel good. What did the black men have to do in order to make you feel? Let me tell you something. I get hyped up about this, and y'all have to calm me back down. Now, a lot of them, they get these white folks, and they think these white folks make them. It's like a trophy on them.
Well, Delta, I don't
and
know
every
that
time they get
exactly
some,
true.
And every time they get some money, they want to run to the white side. Why you got to run to the white side every time you get some money in order to make you feel good about yourself?
But she's dated black men, Delta, and then some people say that that article is not true about whatever statement she made about black men that make her feel good, because Serena has dated plenty of black men. Now, one thing I can say about this whole Serena Williams marriage to this billionaire that owns Reddit, Reddit is supposed to be this
racist
webs. It's a website.
No, it's not. Black it's Rose, if I can, I'm over here chomping at the bit. And Delta, yeah. I say this with love in my heart, but you need to change up your sources of media. You watch a lot of corporate media, and it's false media. They feed you a whole bunch of lies. And then also, there's a lot of gossip sites out here. I actually wrote about Serena Williams because an article went viral about her latest engagement. Well, I shouldn't say latest. This is the only time I ever known she was engaged. I ain't never, and not that I'm saying, it ain't none of my business who she married. But I could say, why ain't none of these black men put a ring on it then that she has dated? Okay? And this.
Baby. That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying, Scotty. And Tariq Nasheed said the same damn thing.
So, but she never said that.
You black men, how come y'all didn't put a ring on it?
I wrote an article about this, and I'm going to post the article. It is called Serena Williams Falls Victim Again to Racial Smears. I did my research because I am a journalist. You can find real journalists in alternative media, Black Agenda Report, Black Talk Radio Network. And Serena Williams was very hurt when that lie first got circulated. And she said, why would I say such a thing? I'm out here fighting, and I'm paraphrasing what she said. I've been out here speaking up against police brutality and the treatment of the black man. Why would I say something so disrespectful about black men? And I wish that, you know, we could track the sources to these rumors, because these people are just saying nasty things and they're not true. So that's what she said about the first time that lie was said about her. Now, with this second guy, right here, that she is, he's not a billionaire. She has more money than him, and I hope that she makes him sign a prenup. But he does, and Reddit, it's not a racist a website. All it is an aggregate. I'm a member of Reddit. Anybody can post articles from anywhere, and they have discussions. Are there racist threads in Reddit? Yes, they are. But I would just let me share this article with you. I wrote this. It's published. I wrote it on January the 3rd, published on 2017, because I felt bad for her. This woman is one of the few celebrities that have stood up for black men. And you know, why I would never marry a white person, at the same time, she gave plenty of black men a chance to put a ring on it, but they didn't. So, but this is what I wrote.
Yes, she did.
In 2004, email chain letter attributing comments to Serena Williams that were insensitive to black men were particularly nasty. The chain letter featured false quotes like Miss Williams announcing she had stopped dating black guys because a white man is the only real choice of a successful black female. The smear was debunked by Snopes, but Serena seemed to be especially offended that anyone would attribute such anti-black statements to her, and that they were readily spread mainly by black blogs, but includes even white-owned platforms like The Griot, apt to contribute to the racial clickbaiting for profits at the expense of high-profile public figures like Williams. And it goes on, and it goes on. I provide links to my documentation, her saying, Serena Williams has been particularly vocal on the issue of black men being killed by police in the United States, expressing fears for the black males in her family, tackling the issue of driving while black. I linked to the video. She's speaking on it. And she has drawn the ire of slave catchers, police unions across the country because of her outspokenness on racial justice. So it's not a real long article, but I can't read it all in a few minutes. But I have supporting links because I am a real journalist, even though I don't work for these propaganda networks like CNN and the rest.
Well, those people are probably the ones that started the rumor and the lie. The ones who, if in fact she is advocating for black men and being murdered and all those kind of things,
mm-hmm.
those that mm-hmm. do that kind of to discredit her among black people and whites. So if she was doing that, that's why they start lies on you.
Absolutely. And this is a tech, once again, a common tactic that has always been used to divide and conquer and separate. Yes. So Serena has been in relationships with several black men. In fact, let the media and some of these people tell it, some of these black men claim that they didn't want to marry Serena because she's been in so many relationships with black men, like they haven't been in several relationships with all kinds of women. So what difference does it make with all this nonsense? Again, people had an opportunity, men had an opportunity to marry Serena. Serena is a world traveler. If she met someone who was interested in her as a beautiful black woman that wants to marry her, why should she continue to not have her, the love that she's seeking? Whatever, Serena, do your thing. Do your thing, because I guarantee you, and I said this before when we talked about, what's that show? Survivor's Remorse. If somebody like, what's that man named? Bao, that loves, what's his name, the girl, the boss ball player's mother, who Tanisha Arnold plays, if somebody like that wants to marry me and loves me and adores me, trust and believe, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh well, shoot, I sure wish he was black, guess I can't marry him, I'll just be a, what is it, spinster the rest of my life. Mm-mm. No, but in all honesty, no offense, white man, don't want to marry a white man, but I probably would consider marrying someone else. I just couldn't see myself marrying a white man based on the history as a black woman that we have with that group and how we are still systematically suppressed by that group. Wow. In
2017. And I'm sorry if I sounded, I'm sorry if I sound a little harsh. I mean, I meant that in love, but I see that as a big problem, not just in our community, but all across the United States. Is that, you know, look, I don't want to marry no white woman. I'm not attracted to white women, but you know what? White women have given me money to keep this network going when nobody was donating. Okay, and so mm-hmm. while I may not agree with her mating choices, I know that she is Serena I'm speaking of cares about the issues that's important to me, and she ain't out there talking bad about black people when she actually trying to help people less fortunate than herself. So I ain't got nothing against the sister. I support the sister, and mm-mm. that's why I took the me time too. To write the article to defend her.
Good. I'm glad you did. I'll have to read that article. I certainly will. Thank you so much for clearing that up for us, Scotty. I always say we do have to double check. But any closing comments? Would anyone like to share a positive note about women before we go into this Winnie Mandela clip?
Well, I can say that black women have always taken the brunt, the burden, and survived and still stood. And still, as Maya Angelou said, and still I rise. So we are and have a special place, and we should always recognize who we are. And there are so many role models
that have been placed before us for us to take a look. So many of them. Mm-hmm. All the way back, Queens of Africa. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And speaking of womb power and when women unite, remember you can always go on to the Women United page. Icy Hot, before we go to this clip, would you like to share that website again and also the official Million Woman March webpage? How can people find out more information? Oh, did we lose? I think your mic may have.
Okay, thank you. I was off mute because I don't like to. I'm sorry, I was talking. Women United is WOMEN United, UNITED 7777.org. And that's a place you can find out about Women United. We support women, we're very empowering of women. And we're using our energies between now and October 2017 to collaborate and to work very hard with the original Million Woman March and Universal Movement, Dr. Soleil. And you can certainly go on that website and find out more about the Million Woman March, which will be coming up October, 20-year commemoration. The Million Woman, that's MillionWoman, March, MARCH, 20.com. And again, I said, we're still looking for coordinators in all of the states, and it's an international movement.
All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing that, Icy Hot, and we will definitely keep our eyes open and ears to the ground. So thank you for tuning in. We will get ready to close out with this clip on Winnie Mandela, one of my favorite people, speaking. She's addressing a room full of beautiful women, and she speaks about the struggle and the power of women. So, Scotty, can we cue that clip up, please?
Yes, ma'am. Just waiting for it to...
Monsieur Scotty.
Yes, ma'am. Just waiting for it to load up. And it will be getting started.
Thank you so much.
You know, they
gracias,
out.
Senor. I am actually practicing my foreign language.
Allow me to say all the protocol observes.
All right, Winnie Mandela.
There are too many beautiful women here. And all the gentlemen who are here are also women today. This is our day. This is our day. You know, when my granddaughter, who was standing here raising her gogo to stand up, I had no idea that they had gone this far to put together this amazing gathering. It would be criminal if we allowed this to be just today, like the Women's Day. The Women's Day, which has just become one of those days that are celebrated once a year, when women, in fact, should be celebrated every day. And the wonderful speeches we have heard here, I'm so proud of the WITS SRC president. How's up, I'm done. You know what it means to have young women like this on an occasion of this nature. You have no idea what it means to our generation. That day, Yabo Mamulili Ngoyi, those 60 years ago, when they collected women from all over the country, women who were walking barefoot, women who came from the countryside with their babies on their backs, and it was those years when apartheid was at its worst. South Africa was a police state. Even Nazi Germany did not compare to what we went through those many years ago. And that today we have young girls like this, Roma Mutandi, the wonderful speeches we have heard here. No, Mzamo, Bebe Cheta Apa. So open and frank. This was the idea of this forum. About what you are doing, Tina, which generation yetu, we will sleep peacefully when we leave this world, because we know we have left a custodians of the struggle for women in your hands. Congratulations. Ukona ke nomnye umntana apha who cried of the many wonderful speeches we have heard here. Yeah. Kauze apha wena obusithi you attempted suicide. Za apha. You actually symbolize the pain of today's mothers. You know, those many years ago when we fought for the liberation of this country, no problem was insurmountable. Sasisilwa for the liberation of our country, and the struggle those days was our opium. We were so hooked by our thirst for freedom that we did not foresee that in 2016 I would hear a young girl, Ongangawe, saying she has attempted suicide many times. It is an indictment to us, all of us sitting here as mothers, grandmothers, and as sisters and aunts to you. What have we done to our country? What have we not done that has landed us up to this situation in which we find ourselves? Namhlanje, the DA is able to get emails from us, yeah. And you women are in the majority. Yeah. What have we done to South Africa? All of us need to introspect and find out what have we done to these children. Ukuthi namhlanje there would be a young girl ongaka who says sikhona sisaphila, that she has attempted suicide many times. We'll try and find an answer for you. We'll try, as of today, we women, we must roll up our sleeves. We must roll up our sleeves and not allow the situations as EJ that manifest themselves into a situation where we find abantwana bethu in 2016 saying that she attempted suicide many times. Ungahlala phansi mntanam, I'll come to you again. Sorry, this is my nurse from the military. She says I need to take a sip of water. Namhlanje, we wanted to prove that all mama need to be celebrated every day. We needed to say to us all here, this pain we saw namhlanje is because we celebrate all mama once a year on the 9th of August. What does that mean? What does that mean? As a result of that, we get problems as Fananales is Tetwangava Bandwan. Oh, but for the rest of the year, what do we think is happening to them? Why do we find ourselves where we are today? We all need to introspect and go back to the drawing board and find out what has happened to South Africa. That namhlanje we have lost Iswane, we have lost Nelson Mandela Bay. We, even those cities we took them with a low majority. Kutheni makhosikazi? What I want to request, Mabone, namhlanje, is that you lead us in a little forum we must form today. Tina, we are not going to be meeting once a year. I hope you will agree with me and support us in that idea that let us form some kind of quorum where we would meet just once a month, this kind of forum where women are able to regurgitate and talk about their problems. The 9th of August does not help anybody. We have rallies, we go wearing uniform, green blouses, and at the end of the day we part, and that's it. We have learned a great deal from women like the chairperson of the NCOP, Comrade Tande, and ukhona amakhosikazi apha anokusifundisa izinto ezininzi abafana nomama uDabita Makgoba, who are seasoned social workers. Naba bantwana mama uhlele ekhaya akho nto yenzayo, we are pensioned. But naba bantwana besithi they are attempting to commit suicide. Sikhona sisekhona saphila. Naba bantwana bethu besithi they fought for Fees Must Fall. There was no success there. These children did not win that battle. They said Fees Must Fall last year, that the students could not afford the fees last year and could therefore not afford the fees the following years. The fact that they won that battle that year, end of the year, and the fees were not increased, and the promise we made as government that the fees would not be increased didn't mean they had won any battle. Abantwana bethu are still in trouble. They cannot afford the high education fees. You know, we are the only section of our population that can help create jobs. Most of you here are working in big corporations because I don't know how much we've been able to get our women from rural areas. But I just assume that as we are sitting here, some of you are working for big corporations. And we must try and influence capital to help the state create jobs for our people. I have said time without number that the dangers of unemployed youth are that unemployed youth are a ticking time bomb. We are where we are today mostly because our youth did not support us much in the elections. For very good reason too. They have been voicing their problems to us, and how much we have done about their problems, that is left to you to investigate. But I am not here to give any speech today. I just want to say thank you ever so much and request you, Mama, to head a little formation of a little forum that is going to carry this process forward. I'm sorry I can't be long here. I can't stand for a long time. I'm not sorry, though, that I have not been to Parliament for 2 years. before a medical certificate, I'm going to tell my friend Tandi Modise knows I think the file must be this thick in Parliament full of my medical certificates. So I am really hoping that this is going to bear wonderful fruits, and that we are going to proceed from now, and we'll have our next occasion next month, because for the first time we listened to you, not representing anybody, but representing yourselves. And you were talking from the bottom of your hearts, not afraid to say, "Eish, by the way, I can't say this because I'm in so-and-so's camp." You know? And if I speak, I am so-and-so's person. Because namhlanje kune ANC and members. And that's his new party. Members. But during our time, the era of the Oliver Tambos, the Lutulis, the leadership, the cream about Chris Haney, Tina, we used to stand at attention just ukufumana only, so it's Puma Elusak. You would tremble because you knew in a tinko kelly ako ime la pekalinba. Nam change. Yes, Pinko Kelly is his supporter, you honestly. Why are things as they are today? And it is also got to gain, we are in camps. We women have got the power to return the African National Congress to its former glory. I am not saying everybody here is a member of the ANC. We are here as women and as mothers of South Africa and as grandmothers of South Africa. And that is the forum on which we should base our discussions. I will come to who has any ideology here, just like 1976. When the children of 1976 took up to the streets and said enough was enough, they were the youth of South Africa. It seems we only operate honestly in that kind of forum where we are South Africans and we all unite under the South African flag. Most of the topics were not touched here today, so what I'm suggesting is that we carry on with this kind of forum, and even those subjects we did not manage to touch today, so we should be able to discuss in our next forum, like women's abuse, violence, domestic violence. There is so much we needed to discuss, how we should view our constitution. Are there any amendments we need to make, to recommend be made in our constitution? What about racism? And only the women can lead that process. It's only the mothers who know how the pain is when your child comes from these non-racial crashes and says, "Mommy," like my granddaughter of five years old. She came the other day. Where's Upunanzol? Oh, my 5-year-old, her daughter, came from school and said, Gogo, Ramos, there's a little boy I like in school. His name is Ramos. But Rob, this is a non-racial crush. But Ramos said he likes my pretty face, but he didn't like my kinky hair. 5-year-old. And this boy is of her age. And then we are surprised when there are sparrows of today calling us monkeys. And we think it's a joke and it doesn't affect you. It affects only that person who was called a monkey. It insults all of us. These people must not tempt us again. These people who are of the other color must not go back to that racism which drove us to the forest. We are still there. We are still alive. And it's Jesus, Ananin. It is about time the women of this country gave a strong warning to all those racists out there, who keep calling us monkeys, who keep calling us baboons, that they must remember what we have done to them in the past. There were times when we were all by ourselves in the country, and yet we defeated them. We defeated apartheid. We fought them. And they knew that they could no longer win any battle on racism. So they must not keep reminding us of those days, because our people are still there. Do not continue provoking us. You do not play with that fire as long as we breathe. Amanda!
The wonderful mother of a nation, Winnie Mandela. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll have to unpack some of what she shared about the oppression and how those women came together and fought, united, and overcame, and are still overcoming. Peace and namaste. We'll be back on next Wednesday. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Mind, Body, and Spirit Show. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your week.
The organizer has ended this Uber conference. Goodbye.